That my name's Ken. I'm senior pastor here at Every Nation Melbourne. So glad to have you guys here today. And we are starting a new series called Tell the Story. And why are we doing this? God's put on my heart for us to be equipped to be a people who can engage. We have a discipleship process in this church, the 4 E's discipleship process, where we engage, establish, equip, and empower. You know, we're called to honor God and make disciples in the community and in the campus. That video that we saw, every nation globally has been striving to reach every nation and every campus for God. We used to cry, every nation in our generation. Now it's every nation and every campus. And we believe that. That's why we meet here in the city. Melbourne University over there, RMIT University, we're looking at doing a monthly Church 246 out in the east. We have a vision to reach out to Monash University. Hands up all the Monash University students here. We have a few there. Wasifa, awesome. And my wife graduated from there. And I graduated from Melbourne, which, you know, obviously is better. And that's who we are, right? That's who we are as a movement. And what God's been putting on my heart is that the season that we're in is a season to build a healthy, engaging culture. And engaging, I think, means being able to tell a story. And so we want to look at the importance of stories and the story that God has for us to tell. So that's the whole point. We're going to be looking at a 5-week series on the story of God and how the implications of God's story and what he calls us to in it all. So let me see, get my clicker out here. Stories. Why even look at this concept of stories? Well, it's because stories are powerful. If you think about what makes money in this world, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Man, they've got a license to print money. There's some of the Marvel executives, they take showers in streams of money. They don't need to worry about toilet paper. They're just using money because that's how much money these guys have made. Like Marvel Cinematic Universe, who's watched the Marvel movies from Iron Man all the way through to Endgame? And they were just stories. We love a great story, right? And part of what was so powerful about what Marvel did is that they connected each movie into a big overarching story. Stories are powerful. They're big business. Movies, for instance. Not just movies, Netflix series. Who signed up to a digital streaming site so that you can engage in these stories that excite you? That are Jack Ryan or The Queen, The Crown or whatever you're watching. You know, Stranger Things, all these different things that people are watching. Crash Landing on You, who's anyone into that? That's a bit of a Filipino thing. See, I'm connected, right? Stories are big business. There's a whole industry about telling stories. It's called advertising. When people try to sell you a product, they're not telling you about the product. They're telling you how you can connect to the story that this product represents. This product represents the story of success. This product represents the story of being a real man. All that kind of stuff. Or what about politics? Politicians are always trying to tell you a story, aren't they? They hire a whole industry called spin doctors. The purpose of a spin doctor and with politicians is to come in and to get a story and put their own slant on it that's advantageous to them. You know, sometimes when we think about politicians and the stories that they tell us, it's like they're big stories, tall stories, they're lies. But that's what they do, right? Stories are powerful, they're impacting. And you have a story. You have a story. When I meet people for the first time, I want to start to get to know your story. Who are you? Where are you from? Where did you live? What brings you to Melbourne? Which part of Melbourne do you live in? Do you know who knows that which part of Melbourne you live in tells a bit of your story? Right? If you live in the west, that tells a little bit of your story. If you live in the northwest, if you live in the outer suburbs, that tells a little. If you live in the inner city, that tells a little bit about your story. You know? And maybe that's rightly or wrongly, maybe the stereotypes being projected, but there's a story that comes in that I'm trying to find out when I meet you, when I talk to you, where you've come from, your family story. What did your parents do? You know, where did you grow up? All that kind of stuff. You have a story. It says about where you've come from. You also have a story about where you're going. Your story isn't fully written. It's developing. It has a trajectory. You're going in a direction. So you have a story. It's doing a double clicking for some reason. But God has a story. God also has a story. Our testimony is powerful. And we all know how important it is to share our testimony, right? You know, we take classes where we're trying to get our testimony down to 45 seconds. So if I bump into some stranger in the street, I can just blurt out my testimony really quickly. And, you know, hopefully that is impacting to them. But it's not just about sharing our testimony. What about God's testimony? What's God's story that we need to share? Our testimony is powerful. If our testimony is powerful, and it is, we're going to look at a verse that says that it's powerful. But what about God's story? How much more powerful is God's story? And should we be trying to create it so that we can just, you know, do a drive-by storytelling? Or is it more appropriate that when we've built a relationship with someone that we can sit down and say, hey, would you like to hear God's story? Would you like to hear what I believe the Bible says about everything? And it's not going to be 45 seconds, but it will take a little bit of time, but it's not going to be an hour either. Maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I just want to share with you what God's story is. So we all know the importance of sharing a testimony, and we get it from Revelation chapter 12. They triumph over him, that's Satan, they triumph over Satan or the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So in right here we see three different things. We see that there is God's story, the blood of the Lamb. Who knows what the blood of the Lamb means? We can read that verse and we already understand what the blood of the Lamb means, right? It's connected to a bigger story. What's it referring to? What's the biggest story that this one phrase is connected to? Salvation? What else? Blood of the Lamb? The crucifixion of Jesus? Okay, but that connects to a bigger story as well, right? What else? Moses. Come on, Ivan. The Passover, right? The blood of the Lamb. Now, why do we even call Jesus the Lamb? Because there's a bigger story that's a part of it. And so when we read this, because we're Christians, we understand automatically what the story is, but how do we present that to other people, right? We can't just say, I can't just go walking down the street and some random person say, the blood of the Lamb is powerful. You go, what? Well, that's weird. Maybe some people will get it right because they have a connection to the wider story, kind of like we do. But a lot of people don't connect to it. So that's God's story. In a few, was it four, five letters, five words? That's a condensed version of God's story. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. God's story and our story. You know, we're meant to put our stories together. You know, the story of Ken Johnson cannot be separated from the story of God. You know, God has been so involved in my life. You know, when you ask me about who I am, about what I value, what I'm living for, what I'd be willing to die for, what I'm willing to make sacrifice, the different kinds of pain I'm willing to go through, it's all connected to God in my life. That's my testimony. It's connected to God's story. My story, your story, and God's story. Even if you're not a Christian here today, I say to you that your story cannot be separated from the story of God. This is the impact of God's story put together with our story. They triumph. We see victory. We all want victory, right? We all want success. We all want to see breakthrough in our lives. Well, how do we see breakthrough in our lives? It's by putting our stories together. God's big story and our story put together leads to this result. They triumph over him. They win a victory. There's breakthrough. And it also means a re-evaluation of our priorities. They did not love their lives. Oh, I want to be counted among the people of who it is said that they, Ken did not love his life so much that he failed to tell God's story. Who's, any Game of Thrones fans here? You think my life is something precious to me? Do you know what that refers to? That's Ned Stark. He's about to be executed. He's being trying to be blackmailed against his life. Do you think my life is something precious to me? I wonder how many Christians, right? I won't just talk about you guys. I'll make it about all of us. I wonder how many Christians their life is precious to them. For how many of us is our life precious to us? But my life, it shouldn't be precious to me. What is precious to me is the blood of the Lamb, is Jesus, his kingdom. Anyway, it's part of my story. I grew up in the army. My life is all about, you know, an army family. I saw my dad go to, you know, he being shot in war and all that kind of stuff. It was all about sacrifice and service. And that's just kind of the bent that I bring to reading the Bible. But anyway, let's go back then and talk about God's story. Do you know that God has a story? Can you share God's story? There's five parts that I'm going to be breaking it down and sharing with you over 5 weeks. And they all need to be told, every single one of them. It used to be that if we wanted to engage with people who didn't know Jesus, that we could get away with sharing just one part. And maybe there's even still some people out there who we can get away with just sharing one part of God's story. But increasingly, right here in Melbourne, if we want to be faithful to share, to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, to share God's story, we can't just get away with sharing only one part anymore. There's more and more people where they don't even know what sin is or who God is or who he claims to be, who God's people are, what Jesus did and what he claims to have done and where history is going. Do you know God's story? Can you share God's story? There's five parts and they all need to be told. We used to be able to get away with sharing just one part and we can't do that anymore. We need to share the full story. And the story starts in the beginning, starts with God. Right here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We have a friend who is Indigenous, Australian, and her creation story involves a bird, Bunjil. The bird Bunjil just kind of coming in and creating the earth. You know what? Knowing that is actually really powerful because here the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It's literally the Spirit of God was fluttering over the waters. It's an imagery of a bird in creation. Now all of a sudden that I know her story and I know God's story, that I'm able to say, hey, you know what? Your story isn't so different to our story. The Holy Spirit was fluttering over the earth. So if you have any Indigenous friends, follow that one away. For future reference, just skipping down. Then God said, let us make humanity in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Then skipping ahead. So God created humanity in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then finally, skipping ahead again, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So, the story of God starts with God as creator. God is creator. And it's important to start here because a lot of people who don't believe in God live life like it's meaningless and purposeless, that it's random. But Christianity and what the story of God says is that, no, there is a purpose and there is meaning, that it isn't just random. Life and the universe isn't random, meaningless or purposeless. Now, there's so many different ways people try to explain the world, try to explain the world with a story of scientific progress only, which we see that in the media all the time, but it's so deficient. It's so colourless. Science strips away the concept of love and art and beauty. It takes away the sense of what is real meaning, of philosophy. Relationships in some stories are, you know what? Someone finds someone else attractive for purely physical reasons. Their DNA wants to reproduce. They're sexually intimate and then the DNA continues. And it's all about just survival of the race and the propagation of genetic information. That's someone's story that explains the world and explains human interaction and relationships. What we offer is something different. We say, you know what? Relationships aren't just pragmatic. Relationships were created. They flow from a creator's heart, a creator's desire to be in relationship. Relationships aren't just pragmatic. They flow from God's desire for us to be in relationship with him and for us to worship him. The story of God says that God is creator. The implication is that there's meaning and there's purpose. I find that there's so many people who are looking for meaning and purpose. And what I can offer them is say, you know what? I know the one who created you. God is creator and he made everything good. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Day 6 of creation, as Genesis chapter 1 tells the story, God looked at all that he created and it was good. God made everything good. Notice that he didn't make everything complete and he didn't make everything perfect. Even when he started in Genesis chapter 1, there was always work for humans to do. There was a garden for us to work in. We were meant to grow it. We were meant to build cities and do all sorts of different things. And then we'll see next week how that plan went off track. But God made everything. He created the beginning of the story, not just the end. And he put us right there in the middle of it. Gave us this role to be his representatives. God created, and he created in humans his image inside of us. That's, you know, human life is worth more than animal life. Human life is worth more than the ecology. Human life is worth more than the stars in the sky. Because even the stars, the Milky Ways, the galaxies, all that, they don't bear the image of God like humans do. Of course, we're meant to look after the ecology and the environment. That's part of representing God in a faithful way, in a real way. But humans are different. We're made in the image of God. So God created everything good. And that has implications. Creativity is in God's heart, and it's in our heart as well. God is creator means that human beings, when we are creative, we image God even to a greater level. We're made in his image and we're made to be creative because creativity is in his heart. So one of the things I like to do when I talk to people is I say, what's your creative outlet? Kira, what's your creative outlet?
Editing.
Editing. You like to do video editing? Okay. For some people it's cooking. For some people it's music. For some people it's poetry. For some people it's dance. You know, there's so many different, and I ask people when I meet them, say, hey, what's your creative outlet? And I talk to different people, like non-Christians as well, and I say, oh yeah, I love writing, and oh, tell me more about it. Yeah, I love writing, and sometimes I write in my diary, and I'm just writing to no one, and I'll write in there, you know, to no one. So I say, oh yeah, how's that going? And I'm just drawing it out. And she goes, you know, sometimes I feel like no one speaks back to me. Oh really? You feel like that as you're writing, as you're expressing yourself creatively by writing into your diary addressed to no one, that no one speaks back to you? Yeah. It's really weird, isn't it? Oh, I don't think it's so weird. You know, that's a great opportunity, right? And it flows right out of the very first part of God's story is he's the creator and we're creative. It's a way that we connect with people, right? What's your creative outlet? I often ask people what their creative outlet is because we all have one. You know, you might think that you're awful at singing or you can't cook to save your life or anything like that, but because you're made in the image of God, you have a creative outlet. And when you are creative, what you do is that you image God even more clearly. So release your creativity. Be who God's called you to be. Don't listen to the naysayers. You know, so many people tell me to stop singing, but I will refuse. I just want to keep going because, you know what, I practice what I preach, and when I act creatively, I image God more clearly. Maybe, Mel, do you want to express some of your creativity with me up here? Thank you. You know, God as creator means, I don't know why these things aren't lining up, but God as creator means that the garden still calls us. God created everything, and he made the garden and he put humans in it. And that's where we were meant to be. He gave us a job to represent him. You know, one of my creative outlets in times past was working, having a veggie patch. And I would talk to the dirt. I would talk to the plants. I'd say, do you remember these hands? Do you remember this care that you're getting? This is what we were meant to do as human beings. I speak to the tomatoes and say, you know, I'm representing God to you and I want you to be fruitful as you would be fruitful to God. Because we were meant to be cultivators. Human beings were created to be cultivators, cultivating a garden. And that looks like so many different things now. Sometimes we cultivate the law as lawyers. Sometimes we cultivate the urban environment as planners and designers and engineers. Sometimes we cultivate money as, you know, finance, you know, working in banks and all that different kind of thing. We cultivate human relationships. We cultivate education. All human work is cultivation or gardening of some sort. And you know what? The garden still calls us. We see it all around us. How many outdoor adventure shops are there? It's Kathmandu, Anaconda, BCF, MacPac. Was that? Yeah, did. I mean, there's so many of them, right? It's because the garden still calls us. Who loves to get out into creation? Who loves to get out into the wilderness? I mean, some of our guys have gone, not come to church today because they're out hiking right now. So, on one hand, so disappointed, but I thought that would be a great illustration in my sermon. They're not here because they're out in the Grampians or wherever they are. The garden still calls us. Why do people find peace when looking at the stars, when looking at sunsets, when looking at the ocean, when out amongst in the wilderness, in creation? It's because we're responding to God as creator. There's literally no evolutionary benefit for finding a sunset beautiful. You can't. There's none. Unless it's just some kind of random mutation that's just a happy accident. Or, in my story, God made it because he's creative. He made that sunset. He made that sky at night starry to be beautiful so that we could revel in his bigness, in his transcendence, in his creativity, be blown away by the beauty of creation, which is only a small tip of the iceberg of the beauty of the Creator. So if I find out that people like to go out into wilderness, they like to go surfing, they like to be in the ocean in the waves, you know, I know God's calling them. The Creator who made them is calling them. God as creator means diversity is from him. This is why this is important. Of all that who we are, we're all unique. All the billions of human beings that there are, we're all unique. You look at all the different kinds of insects and other, you know, small invertebrates, and then moving through the mammals and the reptiles and of all the different animals that there are, so many different kinds. That reflects the diversity of God. Then we look at just the human beings, right? We all look different. We all are different. We all have different giftings, different talents. It's just, once again, a small reflection of God's creative heart. This is why God as creator is important. I'm not even talking about how old the earth is. It's not even important. Whether the earth is old or the earth is young or whatever, whether it's six literal days or whether it's figurative language, I'm not here to answer that question. I am here to answer the question that God is creator, and that's important because of this. It means that who you are is unique and powerful and God ordained. It means that racism is ridiculous. Absolutely. It means that any of the things that we as human beings use to separate us and divide us, they're futile. It's politics isn't the answer for that. New laws aren't the answer for that. It's changing people's hearts is the answer for what separates us. That's why we need to say that God is creator. We need to start with God when we tell his story, that he made us who we are. And that you are valuable, and that you are powerful, and that you carry inside of you the image of God, whether you believe him or not. God is creator, and that means diversity is from him. Sometimes we see it just in one family, our kids. I see all my kids, they're different. They're the same, but they're different. Within a group, diversity is important. Within a nation, diversity is important. Within humanity, wouldn't it be boring if we all looked the same? We're meant to be different. That's God's gift to us. It's a reflection of God as creator. You know what? God as creator means God is in control. No, you don't need to be afraid of coronavirus. Well, obviously we can take precautions. You know, we've got some hand sanitizer. Took me quite a few supermarkets until I could find any. But we got some. And know, you don't need to be afraid of economic downturn. You know, the stock market crashing. I mean, I'm not saying that those things won't impact us. I'm not trying to get, oh no, it's just going to be, everything's going to be, well, maybe tough times are coming ahead, right? Maybe they are. But I know the Creator. And so whatever tough times are coming my way, I would so much rather be going through them with this Creator who is in control than just thinking, oh, this is just all explained by social sciences and Marxist political theory or whatever other story people use to explain the world. We don't need to be afraid of coronavirus. We don't need to be afraid of economic downturn. We don't have to worry about anything. If you know the Creator, if you know Him, you don't need to be afraid because He's in control. You know, it makes sense that God's story starts with Him and He brings us right into it. It reminds me of that verse I started with at Revelation chapter 12. How they overcame the enemy, they overcame Satan by sharing their story and being part of God's story. Our stories are meant to be together. God as Creator and you. What does that mean for you? God as Creator. And I'll put up these ideas. Maybe it's prompting something different in your mind. What does God as Creator mean for you? Your story connected to His story. Does it mean that the dream that you thought was dead doesn't have to stay dead? Maybe it can be resurrected. Maybe those labels that people put on you that said you'll never amount to anything, or that you're X, Y, and Z, and you're, why aren't you like your brother? Why aren't you like your sister? Why can't you be more like this? Maybe those things that have been tried to be stuck on you, maybe they don't need to be on you. Maybe they can be removed because God is your Creator. Maybe His story for you is different than what people are saying your story is. It makes sense that God's story starts with Him and He brings us right into it. It's because He loves us. And He wants to give us meaning and purpose and mission and something substantial to give to other people. God as Creator means that there is a story that makes sense. He's initiated it. He's intimately involved in it. And He will bring it to a satisfactory conclusion. Now, just as I wrap up, as I talk about God as Creator. God is the Creator and He loves you. God is the Creator and He knows you. So whether you're a Christian here today or you're not a Christian, God loves you and He knows you. And He loves you even in spite of knowing you. He knows everything there is. All the stuff that you hope no one ever finds out about, He knows. And He still loves you. He created you. He created you. Not only does He love you, not only does He know you, He's proud of you. God is proud of you. And God has a plan for you. You know, every nation, Melbourne, God loves you. God knows you. God created us. God is proud of us. God has a plan for us. So individually and corporately, God is Creator. You know what? I think that makes all the difference. What a great place to start the story. Next week, we're kind of like, it goes a bit off track, right? We know what's coming up next. For those of you who've done Leadership 215, right? Or even otherwise. But we know what's coming up next. There's a derailment in the plans of God. Something happens which sets everything, it kind of wrecks everything, right? But God still has a plan and He's still Creator and He's still in control. And this is the story that God has for us to share. This is the story that God has for us to connect with other people. You know, where I live in Brunswick West is highly concerned about the environment. When I talk to people who are environmentalists, who are greenies, I start with God's Creator. He called us to garden. He called us to look after His creation. You know what? Jesus has the answer for the environmental issues in our world. And it all starts because He's Creator. All right. Oh, I'm looking forward to sharing the rest of this series with you. I hope that you enjoy it as well. I think it's part of equipping us to be a people who can engage, and that we are able to build a healthy, engaging culture in every nation in Melbourne. So let me pray and we'll wrap it up here. And, let me pray and then a quick announcement. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you so much for who you are, and who you are starts with you are God. And you are the God who created. And you are the God who has creativity in his heart. And you are the God who put your image inside each and every single one of us. That no matter what people say about us, Lord, what matters is that we reflect you and we image you, and that when we're creative, we show you even more clearly, God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to establish our lives on this bedrock that you are the one who made us, and that you don't make mistakes. We're not accidents. We're not here by random chance. Nothing is purposeless. Everything has purpose in your economy because you are the Creator God who is in control. Lord, I thank you that the garden still calls us, that nature, when we perceive you in it, refreshes us. Lord, I pray that we would see how all the different things, the way that you've made us, there's different ways for us to connect with people who don't know you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be like those in Revelation who overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, your story, by the word of their testimony, their story, and that didn't love their lives even to death. We are a church on a mission to honor you and to glorify you. And we thank you for that, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.